Well, he has just spoken about one parable. Some seed fell by the wayside, easily distracted. The birds came and took it as well. And some seed fell in the stony ground, and because it had no root, it sprang up quickly, but with the moisture gone, it parched and passed away. And some with great enthusiasm and no root. Some fell among the thorns and weeds, and they came up and choked them, and they didn't bear any fruit. And some seed fell, and that's an interesting thing if you compare where this comes up in the Gospels. It fell on the agathos kalos ground. They fell on the good, the noble and excellent, the noble and good ground. And how much noble and good ground is there? Well, I told you I used to work for Washington State University, and I had a great big battleship autoclave used for bedding on a battleship. And I used to pump the steam into that, 300 degrees steam, and cook this wonderful soil for 4 or 5 days. And then I would undo this big vented door, where it would look like a bank vault door, and I would open that up, and this stench would come out of all that cooked soil and all that I put in it. But then I'd mulch that, and then I'd not only mulch it, I'd aerate it, and I'd let it grow fungus, and then all that would dissipate, and it would mold, and then I would dissipate and aerate all of that. And by the time I got finished, I'd got good soil. Because how much good soil is there? Well, there isn't any naturally occurring good soil. And so when I got finished, if you wanted to grow chrysanthemums or other good things, my soil was just wonderful stuff. And so when the Lord prepares the ground, for those people who hear that parable, they say, well, of course, I'm awfully glad that I'm not easily distracted. I'm awfully glad that I don't get carried away with the cares of this life and don't bear any. I'm awfully glad that I don't fall into those. Oh, but if the man hears with hearing ears, he says, oh, no, I left to myself. I am the one that's overcome with the cares of this life, who's easily distracted, who, by the grace of God, we bear any fruit for his kingdom. But then after he gave this parable, then he says, and another parable. And chapter 13, in verse 24, it says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the grain, it should be, as the fruit of grain was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in your field? Didn't you sow good seed in your field? From whence then hath it tares? Where did these come from? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then if you look, it says, in verse 33, another parable
spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. Why did he speak to them in parables? It says in another place, lest they should hear and should repent and I should heal them. Of course, Jesus came to save everybody. Interesting thought. Verse 35. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Psalm 78. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the sons, the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, not the world, but of this age, the age. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this age. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which practice iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his holy and his perfect word. Let us look unto him once again in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and our Lord, we humbly beseech thee that we may understand, that we may be numbered among thy disciples who have said unto thee, declare unto us the parable. O Lord, for we would know even the will of our Master, and we would perceive the day and the time. We would perceive the preaching of the word of life, and that we may be precious in thy sight, even because we hunger and thirst after the things of our Lord, and to know thy word. For thou hast said, if a man keep my word, he shall never see death. O Lord, grant that we may be thy disciples, that we may be not hearers only, but doers of the word of life. And we thank God that the Spirit of God, for Jesus' name's sake, does undertake for the preaching, the exposition of the word of life. Amen. Slow to get things. I have to have my nose shoved right in before I get the point all too often in life. And one day, going out east of Sivas in eastern Turkey and toward the Middle East, and was coming out in the evening, and there was this sickening smoke that filled the air. And we couldn't get away from it. The further we drove on into the night, the thicker the smoke got. And it was most unpleasant smoke. And what had happened was that they had harvested in those fields. And they had harvested, and we're talking about particular small fields of wheat. They had harvested with the scythe. They had harvested them in that way because there was so much of a particular weed, and it was growing in that. And what they did in order to get rid of it,
this weed, if the weed that I'm referring to, I've come to understand what that weed is. It's Sepularia syriaca. And it's what gets translated. Tares here is one of those. There's another weed that gets into it, and it's also called the same thing. But it's both the Arabic, where they refer to them both the same, though they're not the same weed. It's a variety of lolia. Well, I want you to know that what they have to do is they scythe down with a short row. They scythe down this wheat, and then they get down and they pick out this stuff. It looks like wheat when it first starts to grow. Both of these grow. Black lolium is another, two different plants, but they're both called lolium. And they both, and if they get inside you, if you eat the bread and they haven't taken this out, well, one of them gives you gas problems and cramps, and the other one will give you, it's called a soporific poison. It makes you so drowsy that you will die of that gas sleep. So they're a very dangerous thing to have in the wheat. And so when that, and so they take this, when they scythe that down, they carefully come and pick out all of those, and they can't leave them in the field, so they tie those into bundles, and then they gather up the rest of it in shocks and tie them together and load them into the wagon. This was what was going on. But it was not only that, it was after the shocks had been taken down to the threshing that these other people were back in the fields, and they were going by in every place where there were these bundles of weeds. And they were actually carefully putting something under some of the bundles so they wouldn't lose any of that grain, that grain. And they were carrying those into piles and burning them. And the stench of that smoke and the intensity of that heat was just absolutely amazing. And so what we're talking about is something that goes on still today. And goes on right there in the midst of all of that. And you see the picture here that the Lord says is that there, it says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And went his way. By the way, would there be any way to stop that? So he gives his beloved sleep. The guy came stealthily in the night. He wants to ruin the economy of his neighbor. He wants to mar his field. And he comes in the night and throws this seed out there. Sometimes they use, by the way, the Greek word that's used here refers to any noxious weed that grows up and mimics wheat in the wheat field. But these are the kinds that are often there. Darnel is another one of those. It causes its own cramps and its poison. All the things that I mentioned are poisonous. And so if you threw all of that into the fellow's field, I've never heard of such a thing, but in Northern Ireland, I found out that they actually have such vicious things that one Christian farmer that I knew there, there was an interesting grudge against him in the papers community, and they came in and marred his field and sowed the weeds. And these particular weeds, as they grew up, they look just like wheat until it's too late. You imagine the turmoil of trying to get along in this world. Why would all of that be left? Well, he's answering that interesting question. Now, we read the interpretation. It's a good thing that the Lord interpreted. You would like to think, wouldn't you, that you would fully understand what that was all about without the interpretation being given to you. But if you look at that, interpretations are like that. I noticed that Martin Luther said that here were in the prison where Joseph was, there was the butler and the baker, and they had similar sounding dreams, and they had an altogether different interpretation. The good wheat that is here are the children, the sons of the king. And
you look here, it says, and while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went its way. But when the grain came up and brought forth fruit, and brought forth its blossoms and the grain formed, then appeared this Cephalia syriaca, this poisonous false grain. Also, so the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where do these tares come from? Said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Wilt thou that we establish the state and the church as one, and we get into the post-millennial reconstruction, and wilt thou that we make the state and the church one so that we can make an inquisition and just root up all of those nasty beggars? Wilt thou that we can just impose our will on the whole? Him that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Let them both grow up together. Why did he leave the stinking, vile tares there? For the sake of the wheat. Why did he leave all of those people if all things work together for good? Oh, let them grow up together. You know, what is that? They said, we're in the millennium already, and the wheat's going to grow up and be strong and fill the whole earth, and everything is going to get better and better, and it's just going to choke out all those tares, isn't it? You say, no, Pastor, that isn't what it says here. What it really matter, by the way, in this precious wheat field, that this man, that an enemy has come in there and defiled all of that. Enemies come in there and made a mess of it and filled it full of weeds. What if there are more stinking, poisonous weeds in there than there is even wheat? Would it make any difference? It's still the Lord's wheat field, isn't it? How much of his precious grain is he going to lose? How many vacant departments do you suppose he's going to have in the New Jerusalem? How many broken plants? Oh, an interesting thought. You said it. Yes, the Lord interpreted it. Well, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man.
How do you know the good seed? Because they live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If you love me, keep my commandments. If a man keep my saying, keep my word, he will never see death. It's emphatic. He will not never die. It's emphasizing in the original. This is the strongest statement. And these are the people who are determined to live not greater than their master. And the contrast is, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of this end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Notice that the final separation, it doesn't come in the church. We have to suffer at the hands of false brethren. It doesn't come with the best efforts we have for keeping the church pure. It's a dragnet that brings forth of all kinds. The final separation of where it is in the world, or is it entrusted unto men? Notice, in those days after that tribulation. It's coming, the great tribulation. Mark 13. In those days after that tribulation, and then shall he send forth his angels, and then shall he gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost parts of heaven. Is it to take them out of this world? No, no. It's so that they come up to meet him to conduct him in. And here's talking about cleaning up the field. Will the Lord clean up the field and take care? All things aren't going to get better and better until the very end. Leave it alone. Will the angels sort out the discipline of the church? That's an interesting point. If you're not involved in that personal discipline today, if you're not submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the church that he instituted, and if you're not bowed in your heart and on your knees to obey your master and to bless the saints according to his word, I don't take any umbrage. I don't care what you profess. It doesn't mean a thing. It has to do with, oh, those people who don't have to live according to his word, don't have to obey him, don't have to come to his table, do not have to do all of the things that he has instituted. By the way, not for one moment do I think that you are a saved person, that you belong there. The harvest, however, the real reapers, you're going to wait for them? They are going to sort it out. That whole matter is going to be sorted out then. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this age. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which practice iniquity. What is an interesting picture? 2 Thessalonians says that he will send them strong delusion that they may believe the lie, that they all may be damned who had pleasure in injustice. And that's an interesting thing, because iniquity is that word that's a very special word. Iniquity has to do with something that's not external. It has to do with what's internal. Remember, before somebody steals something, they've stolen it already in their heart. And they've gone through this little rigmarole where they have justified it. And in order to do that, they have to make themselves God. Before somebody is outwardly covetous, they are covetous in their heart. How many of these sanctuaries to money and these operations to exploit men's baser lust, and to all of these are to manipulate men and to manipulate people by the use of sex and the appeal. How much of that is going to be in this kingdom? Before somebody abuses their neighbor as something that they can exploit or something that they can revile, they have already despised him in their heart. And that's where iniquity is. By the way, so, as we pointed out, there are a lot of pickpockets that have gotten arthritis in their fingers and getting a little slow. And they have to start working for a living. There isn't anything special. Let him that stole steal no more. But let him labor with his hands for what? Well, if he just labors with his hands to get the money to buy the bread, to get the energy to dig the ditch, none of those people are going to happen. No, it says let him labor with his hands that he might have wherewithal to give to him that has need. But he views himself in this life as the opposite of covetousness, that he is a giver. Because out of that is a different heart. When the Lord says, if you only bless those people who bless you back, if you only love those who love you back, what is that? You're not even the publicans the same? How many have the heart? Bless those that curse them and do good to them that hate them.
Bless and curse not. Oh, he's talking about those people who live that life because they can afford to. Because they have already received God's best in the promise of his presence. They've already received the assurance of his presence with them and his fellowship forever. And he will never leave them nor forsake them. And he will provide them their daily bread. They don't have to be anxious. They're here in order that they might give. And it's their order of life. Oh yeah, all the others are practices of iniquity.
I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how rich they are. I don't care whether they look like a philanthropist that's building a monument to their self-image. What is highly esteemed among men? Let not thy right hand see what thy left hand doeth, because that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. And what are they going to happen to them? And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then there's this, the Lord goes on to say here that the scribe, the one studied in the word, brings forth old and new. His allusion right here to Daniel chapter 12. And it says, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Oh, it doesn't get up here what we shall be.
Well, what is it that you love?
Oh, trust in the Lord and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll bring it to pass. These are the people who cast their burden on the Lord and roll their cares onto the Lord. And he gives them the desires of their heart. Will he necessarily vindicate his word? And you said, oh, I am absolutely certain of it, Pastor. And there's this interesting division then, isn't there?
Thank you very much. You knew that there was something. It was that sandpaper. I won't gargle, but that was peppermint, too.
Thank you. Is that better?
No, almost.
Yes, thank you very much, sir.
When you looked at this, and you said, thank you, Lord, for the tares.
Thank you for the trials. Thank you for leaving them. Thank you very much, because without them, the sorting out, lest you should rip out the righteous with the just.
Oh, let's look at that. If he had made the judgment on you just a few years ago, how would you come out?
His long suffering to usward, not willing that any of us should perish, but that all of us should come to repentance. I'm just being fair with the ellipsis in the Greek, because that's exactly the idea. And he's not going to lose any of them. So, what if you didn't bless those that curse you and do good to them that hate you?
I was talking to a sister this last week about perplexed about young people. She said, well, you know, there's an interesting operation. There's a couple of things going on in Africa, in the Sudan, and even in Chad. You know that they're taking slaves, that the people they're enslaving are lots of times Christians, and you should buy them out of slavery. But there's another group that she had mentioned, and that is there's a group of volunteer lawyers need a certain amount of funding to apply the laws in the land to keep people from being taken slaves, and you get them out of slavery. And by the way, if you simply say, well, I'm just going to
I'm just going to contribute money so that we can buy these people out of slavery and we can deliver them. Is that a solution? I said, no, there's a special problem with that. If you go to a situation where you're collecting money, have young people all over the countryside and all over Europe collecting money to buy people out of slavery, do you know what you will do? You will immediately subsidize the slave takers. You will subsidize the criminals. And you won't do any good. They will automatically take advantage of that, and the amount of slaves that will be taken will be far more. But if you had an interesting thought about this and you dealt with it legally, and then you dealt with it in terms of law and enforcement, and you did that at the same time, would you find people in the church who'd be interested in doing that? Yeah, I just thought that. Yeah, I would like to do that. But there are other things that are right here. There are matters of abuse. Here, would you live in a society where babies are actually being sold before they're born? Or would you live in a society that would kill 42 million of its unborn? Would you promote a society that's given over now exponentially in all kinds of communities? There is an epidemic of methamphetamines, and it is the most destructive drug that is going. All of those things, well, it seems to me that we're actively involved in dealing with the souls of men. You see, there's people who say, if I said, well, I know that there's something needs to be done about that. I have my own responsibility for it, but I really don't want anything. There's really nothing I can do. To them that know to do good and do it not, to them it is sin. Well, I have a very interesting thing I've already started, and there are people who will help me. We have an interesting mission field. Hardened, tough one. The Lord put right next door over here. And it's not very hard to figure out how often you have to go to the apartments, because people only live there an average of a year. Yeah, I'm looking about right over here. And there's another group of apartments, right? And there are, we're living, if you talk to the police, we're living in the most sick and difficult. Who would be those who would go out in the highways and the byways and compel them to come in? I mean, what kind of people are those? Somebody went out into the highways and byways and dealt with me. One of the least likely. And if you talk about people and you said, oh, this is an active, deliberate effort, what will the Lord bless? What's right? Well, we do an interesting thing about the way life is. We're talking about these people. People who are in the world for what they can get, they're the tares. Did you know that? I don't care if they call themselves Christians and go to church every day. If they're in the world for what they can get, they'll have their part in that furnace and in the lake of fire. Every single one of them, or else God's a liar. But everyone who is in the world beseeching the Lord for wisdom, who are in the world for what they can give, they're the opposite. Beseeching God for what their service is, they're the opposite kind of person. And you'll say, well, I don't have any opportunity. Pray for it. He'll be pleased to answer your prayer, won't he? Because I want to be far removed from the tares. I want to be far removed from that. I want to be, by the Lord's grace, directly involved in what is spoken here. It's necessary. Needs help. May the Lord bless the exhortation from His Word. Let us look unto Him once again.
Our Heavenly Father and our Lord, we know that we are not wheat because we chose to be wheat. We know that we are not the thy precious grain, and we do not have ears to hear, because we chose to have them. We know that we did not born ourselves again. We know, O Lord, that the world is full of tares. We ask, O Heavenly Father, that there may be a great difference in motive of heart between us and them. For we know that the division between the servants, active disciples, and the tares, it is being manifest and will surely be sorted out, and that very quickly, when thou dost send forth thine angels. We know, O Lord, that thou wilt cleanse thy kingdom of everything that offends, and those who know to do good and do it not are an offense unto thee. We ask, O Heavenly Father, that thou wilt move us by thy word, and with joy and thanksgiving we have looked unto thee, that thou wilt direct our steps and bless our witness, and that it may be seen that we love thee with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. And in closing, I would like you to stand.